Hello, everybody. This is Jason Peebles, the founder of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another victory video designed to strengthen your walk in Christ. In a moment, I want to look at a powerful principle from God's Word that I call the God of Restoration. Before we do that, let me just say a great big thank you to those of you who are supporting your missionary. You know, we're the home office for missionaries all over the world, and it's a joy to serve them. It's so exciting to see what God's doing around the world. We're the home office for missionaries that do all sorts of things: discipleship, church planting, Bible schools, leadership training. We have some that are involved in mobile medical clinics, others that are involved in children's shelters, orphanages, aviation. I'm telling you, the list just goes on and on how God uses people around the world. And it's a joy to be their home office. But one thing I've discovered, all of them need the prayer cover and the financial support of their friends. And so if you're supporting your missionary, let me just say a great big thank you and commend you for doing that. By the way, if you're a missionary watching this and you're in need of a dependable home office, then this is a great day. You found the right spot. Simply go to our website, and I'll put the direction across the screen. Go to worldoutreach.org, click on the Missionary Agency section, and all the details are there on what we do, how we take care of our missionaries, and then there's a communique form that you can fill out, a very short form, to make initial contact with us. And then we'll get back with you, and we'll see if this is a good fit for you. We'd love to be your home office. All right. Let's look at this principle in the Word of God that I call the God of Restoration. You know, it is so wonderful that we serve a loving God. When you look at the Bible from cover to cover, you see a God who has a heart of restoration. Now, you know what? I wouldn't give you 2 cents for what I just call religion. Religion beats people over the head with rules and regulations, knocks somebody to the mat, won't let them get up. I'm telling you, religion can be a hard taskmaster, and I'm not about religion, but I'm about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, God is not a religious God. I know that He gets a bad rap so many times because people have the wrong picture of God, but when you think about it, think about Adam and Eve. How they sinned, they messed up. But you know what? Our God initiated immediately a plan of restoration to bring them back into the family. That's our kind of God. You look all through the Bible, King David. David messed up. He messed up in ways that most of us would never dream of. He ended up committing adultery. He even murdered a man. So David was very guilty, but God immediately initiated restoration. And he finally came to a point of repentance, and God was able to bring him back. Then I look at others like the story of Ruth, where she didn't sin, but her life was just messed up. All the men in her life had died. She was alone in this world. Yet God sent a man named Boaz into her life, and God did a restoration work. Even the whole nation of Israel, they sinned time and time again and rebelled against God, but God would send prophets. And finally, the prophet, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to bring them back. And so our God is a God of restoration. And then I look at our shining example, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I can't help but think of one story where that woman was caught in the act of adultery. And they brought her before Jesus and said, you know, the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? And so these religious guys were trying to trap Jesus and get him to say, yeah, go ahead and stone her. But that's not the heart of our God. Even though religion would say stone her, Jesus said, well, those without sin cast the first stone. And of course, he turned them away. And he turned to the young lady and he said, go and sin no more. What a heart of restoration that our God has. So before we look at this scripture, I want to look in Luke chapter 15 quickly at a story the Bible calls the prodigal son, about a guy who messed up. And it's a perfect illustration of our God, who is a God of restoration. But before we do that, let me just say this. If you're watching this and you're far away from God, maybe at one time you walked with God and you've slipped, you've gone back. You know what? God can restore you. God can restore you in a moment if you'll just open your heart. And so don't let religion keep you away. Don't let other people push you out or remind you over and over of your sin and let that keep you away. we're going to see in this story that our Father, He's at the end of the driveway, as it were, and He's waiting for you to come home. For others, you may be watching this, and maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And your thought is like, man, my life is so messed up. I've got addictions, and I've sinned in ways that I would be embarrassed for anybody to know. God could not possibly love me. Oh, yes, He does. And He wants to bring you into the family. And then the other area that I want to just touch on, and we'll mention this in a moment, and that is, you say, well, Jason, I don't fit any one of those categories. I'm walking with God, and I'm doing just fine. Well, you know what? You need to be an instrument of restoration for others. Because we all know people that are down, they've had hard things hit them, they've been pushed down by life, maybe they've made some horrible decisions on their own. But you know what? That's what the grace of God is all about, to bring people back. And we need to be representatives of the agape, unconditional love of God and bring them back into the fold. All right, Luke chapter 15, and I'm just going to hit some major points in this story because I don't have time to read every verse, but you remember the story most likely. The prodigal son, this father had two sons. One was faithful and stayed home, and the other son was rebellious. He said, give me my inheritance now, and it says he went out and spent all of his money on riotous living. In one place it says he spent his money on harlots. I mean, he was a womanizer. The guy was just off the deep end. And how did the father respond to all of this? Let's look at the story. Jesus tells this story. So this is the attitude of Jesus, our Savior, about rebellious people. He says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me my inheritance. So he divided to him his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger gathered all his belongings, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with riotous living. And we know that harlots were involved, women were involved, because later in the story, his own brother, when he finally came back, reminded him and said, I know where you've spent your money, you told me, and I know the whole story. And you know, maybe you've got people like that in your life that are reminding you, like, I know the truth about you. I know what you did. And they won't let you up off the mat, so to speak. Well, this young man, he's in this foreign country, and he's messed up. Man, the guy is messed up. He's been drinking. He's been womanizing. He's just been living a riotous life. And he runs out of money. And the story says that he ended up working in a pig pen. He was hired by somebody to feed and slop the pigs. Finally, it says he came to himself. Now, don't miss this, because if you want authentic restoration, we have to come to this point of repentance. He said, I will arise. He said this to himself. I will arise and go to my father's house and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me one of your hired servants. Now, why did he say that? Because he knew that even the hired servants in his father's, on his father's ranch, if I can put it to you that way, even his hired servants were paid better than a pig slopper. And so he said, I've got to go back to my father and tell him I'm sorry, I've wasted my inheritance, and maybe my father will have mercy on me. And so he journeys back. Now, don't miss that. Anyone who wants restoration has to come to that point in their life. I know in my own life, the times that I've been away from God at times, in my heart, and we all have different levels of that in our life, I've had to come to the point where I'm like, Lord, forgive me for my bad attitude. Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for that. And you know what? He's right there to forgive and to bring us back. But it says that when he came back, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. So he says just what he thought. He said, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father, now watch the response of the father. It says, but the father said, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring back on his finger, the ring of the seal of the family. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. In other words, they had a coming home party. So what picture do we see of God there? We see a father who's waiting in anticipation for his son to come home. You know, we don't know, but I kind of imagine the father every day looking out on the horizon. Is this the day? Is this the day, my son? Is this the day, my daughter? Apply it to men or women. Is this the day that my child shall return? And when he did come, he's repentant, he's humble. The father doesn't say, well, yeah, I've been waiting for you to come back, and I'm going to make you remember every sin that you ever committed, and you're going to have to work your way up. You're going to have to start from the bottom and work your way up again. Nope. Our Father is a God of mercy. Jesus told this story. And so if you're in a place in your life, you need to understand that I don't care what religious people say. They'll try to make you pay for your sin. But your sin has already been paid for through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. All you need to come back is with a humble heart, humility, and say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. And you know what? He's going to put the robe on you. That's what the person of authority wears. When you walk out, they mark you. They know that you're a child of the Father. He's going to put the ring on your finger, the family seal again. He's going to kill the fatted calf. That's prosperity. And He's going to welcome you back to the family. Now, his brother, that's another story. We don't have time for that in this particular video. But his brother, who had been faithful, had a sour attitude. You know what? That's like a lot of church people. A lot of church people, when you come back to God, it's like they've got a sour attitude. It's like, yeah, well, it won't be that much longer until he falls off the wagon again. And you know what? That's religion. And that's a whole other story. We don't want to be like that towards other people. We want to be instruments of restoration. I want to share one other quick passage with you about this thought of being an instrument of restoration. Our God is a God of restoration, and we should be people of restoration. And so if you have somebody in your family and you think, like, I don't know if they're ever going to return, you know what? Your prayers will work. Your prayers avail much. They can never get away from your prayers. Don't go by what it looks now on the outside. Because if you had gone on any given day to that prodigal son when he was messed up, you might have found him with one of those harlots. You might have found him in a drunken state. And if you had measured him by that one moment in time, you would have thought and concluded, he'll never come back. But you know what? He did. And that's the power of prayer. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts that changes us from pride and arrogance to people of humility that say, I'll just be happy to be a servant in my Father's house. And so we all have people that we know, whether they're in our family, they may be in your family, they may be your own son or daughter. If you're watching this, don't give up on them. Hold the rope for them. Hold on to your faith. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. Don't measure them by what you see right now. See them in a returned state where they want to be a part of the family again. You may have a spouse, a husband, or a wife, and you're like, I just don't know if they're ever going to turn around. They will. Don't give up. Don't let go of your faith. That's what this video is all about. Normally I give a bunch of principles, 1, 2, 3, 4, but you know what? I'm sensing in my heart that this is to be a video talking about encouragement and restoration and hope for those who may be wayward right now. But it says in Galatians chapter 6, and Paul is speaking to Christians, to leaders, and I want you to hear what he says. He says, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such. Do you see that? Restore. Not beat up, not push down, not shun. He says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Let me give you the Jason Peebles take on that verse. Don't be proud like, well, I've never done that sin. Well, I sure wouldn't do that. You better watch out, because pride comes before a fall. And you should have this attitude of like, I want to be an instrument of restoration to them. I want to be available 24/7. If they need to call me, if they need to talk to me, or maybe the Holy Spirit's put on my heart, I'm going to reach out to them with a phone call. I'm going to talk to them. If they turn me off at that moment, I'm not going to get offended, because that's how people that are away from God act. I'm going to reach out in faith, and I'm going to keep reaching out with my prayers. I want to see them restored. I have a heart to see them restored. Do you see that? And so we want to be people of restoration. He goes on to say in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's love. It's the love of God, the agape, unconditional love of God. And it's a burden. It is a burden when you're trying to reach people that seem to be rebellious at the moment. It's a heavy thing. It kind of bothers you. It's like, well, I don't want to waste my time on somebody who's not hungry for God. We're called to bear one another's burdens. And sometimes the burden concerns people that have been overtaken in a trespass. You know, in the Greek, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass. In the Greek, that word overtaken means caught. It's like a snare for an animal. You know, some people, they just mess up. They didn't intend to mess up. They didn't plan on messing up. They made a mistake, a terrible mistake. And yes, it's sin, but that's not who they are. That's not who they really are. And you need to give them a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. In fact, the disciples said one time, how many chances do we give them? How many times do we forgive them? Jesus said 70 times 7. In other words, unlimited. There's no limit in the love of God. You want to read about the qualities of the love of God? Read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love never fails. It never gives up. And that's hard for our flesh. That's hard for us. But if we yield to Christ, we can be that type of person. We can be people who are instruments of restoration. So, as we conclude, let this just be a voice crying out to your life that God is a God of restoration from cover to cover, from Adam and Eve, all the way through what Jesus Christ did on the cross while we were yet sinners, before we ever had an ounce of faith. He died for the ungodly. And we need to have that same attitude of heart towards other people. Believe for them. Pray for them. All right. Well, this is Jason Peebles reminding you, starve your doubts, feed your faith, and follow God's plan for your life.